Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, which includes levy sponsors, emergency managers, and then we also are open and available for the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and will be placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. However, if you did dial in, it is possible that you are unmuted, and I would ask that you use your phone's own mute function to avoid a hot mic situation. And then when it comes time for question and answer, press star 6 or use the microphone icon on your screen to come off mute. Please provide your name and the organization you represent at the time of asking your question. Please don't place the call on hold, as it does affect the meeting for others. We currently have 55 callers on the line. We will get started with Doug Kluck, who will be providing a climate update, and then we'll hand the call over to Lisa Holtz from the National Weather Service and then John Remus and his staff. With that, I will hand it to you, Doug.
Yes, thank you very much, Eileen. And I'll just wait to, there we go. Let's just move right on into the presentation a little bit further. There we go. Looking back over, I guess I got rid of my title on this one. Anyway, this is from the beginning of the water year, which is officially October 1st of last year, till now, or close to now. On the left, an image I've shown for the last two or three months, departure from normal temperature over that period. Anything that's yellow to red is above normal. The more red or dark red it becomes, the higher or the greater the anomaly towards warm. It's been unprecedented warm, unprecedentedly, if that's a word, warm in the west, western part of the U.S., especially centered around, I guess you could just say, Wyoming. That's very hot temperatures, and we're probably breaking lots of records, or you know, top 1 or 2 years in terms of warmth during this period. That's not great for building snowpack. That's not great for, as you're going to see, for retaining any snow that falls, and it probably means that several snow events fell as rain events as opposed to snow, especially at lower and mid elevations. So that's, and, oh, the other and, with all that warmth is that you see more sublimation and evaporation of whatever moisture is around. So that's what those temperatures all entail during pretty much fall through winter, the winter that we've had, of last year into now. Okay. On the right is a picture of the percent of normal precipitation. I wouldn't look at this too closely in the mountains, but in terms of low level, lower elevation areas across most of the Missouri Basin, you can see, again, areas red are dry, less than 50%. Anything yellow to red is below normal in terms of precipitation during this period. Anything sort of greenish to purple is above normal precipitation during this period. So you can see that I would say most of the basin has been on the drier side. And you're going to see that when we look at the trend line when it comes, or trends when it comes to drought development. So let's go to the next slide. Yeah, so since the beginning of this year, not October 1st, but January 1st, this is same two maps, same two ideas here. You got temperatures on the left, which have remained warmer than normal, even though we've had some cold breaks of cold during our winter, which sounds weird, but that's the way it's been. And on the right is the percent of normal precipitation again, red, well, anything yellow to red is below normal, but a lot more expanse of dryness during this period. Now, this is not one of our biggest precipitation times of year. In fact, January tends to be one of the driest times of year, especially in the northern plains. So how much precipitation are you really missing out on? Not that much, but it does matter. And it does matter for a snowpack and for melting this time of year, actually. But you'll see there's nothing really to melt, especially in the lower elevations and plains. So let's just keep moving. Next slide. Yeah, I forgot to put this in here. But this is the departure from normal maximum temperatures during that same period of time. If you remember the map before this, under this, I should say, yeah, that one, you see that the average temperature during the day, that's kind of figuring what the low temperature and the high temperature is together and coming up with some kind of normal compared to this, which is all red, pretty much tells you that our maximum temperatures during this period since January 1st have been way, 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 way above normal. It's our max temperatures pushing the records, pushing the heat. Okay, that's just something interesting I thought was, I thought that was pretty interesting to see that it was the max temperatures, not our minimum temperatures of the day that are really pushing the anomalies. Okay, next slide. And maybe the next one. There we go. Others will discuss this, but I think I want to show you something I consider a dichotomy or an inconsistency in snowpack here. On the left, you see the percent of normal, call it snowpack, in the mountains, and that oval area is pretty much the Missouri Basin, sub-basins, if you will, that feed the Missouri River. Most of them are not green. Most of them are yellow and orange and red, which is below normal. And even the greens there are close to, but still below normal in terms of percent. Those are all percentages of normal snowpack in those little basins. On the right, and by the way, I guess these percents have gone down since last month. So we're losing the percent of normal, if you will, snowpack in the mountains. We're not catching up, in other words. On the right is the water year-to-date precipitation. And I didn't circle that oval area, but you can see that there's actually some blues and more greens and no reds. That's how much precipitation fell compared to normal in that same area. So what's weird about this, or different about this, I should say, is that we have seen precipitation, and it's close to normal during that period since October 1st, but guess what? It's not falling as snow. It's actually, it has fallen as rain in many of these places and during this period. So it runs off right away. We don't have the, if you will, reservoir of snowpack to rely on. Later in the melt season, if you will. So I wanted to show that to you just, and it's really interesting if you look across the entire West, how close to normal, or maybe slightly below normal, precipitation is compared to snowpack is. Yeah, so I wanted to make that point. Next slide. It'll be interesting to see what the Corps says in terms of percent of snowpack or the Weather Service says. But if you look at the way they figure this out at the NRCS, we're at somewhere around 79% of average when it comes to the Missouri Basin, that giant yellow area in the middle. You can see some of the other big basins around the periphery, but we're definitely below normal when it comes to when it comes to snowpack for the Missouri Basin. Next slide. And just the picture of, you know, what the snow looks like in the plains. It's non-existent for the most part, a little bit up there in North Dakota. Next slide. And this is the how much different it is than normal. And yellow means below normal. So we're well below normal in terms of snowpack for this time of year, mostly in the Dakotas, in Montana, yellow is below normal. Okay, next slide. So this is one model of how dry the soils are from 0 to 100 centimeters down, which is about 40 inches. It's dry. It's very dry. And in some portions, especially lower basin, now that's changing. I will admit that over the next, what's happened and what is going to be happening, especially in Missouri, maybe eastern Kansas and such, it's going to get a lot wetter, and I'll show you that in just a minute. But the upper basin, some of those colors may or may not be accurate, but a lot of yellow up there, especially in the eastern portions of the Dakotas, dried out a little bit. And there's some depictions in there that look a little wetter than they ought to, based on what we've seen. So anyway, that's soil moisture. What's one way of looking at it? This is the next 7 days, the total precipitation over the next 7 days. The lower Mississippi is going to be fantastic, or too fantastic if it starts flooding. We're looking at areas of 5 to 7 inches of precipitation all the way up to the Ohio Basin, actually. So that side of the drainage basin, if you will, the Mississippi drainage basin anyway, will be doing okay. They need it up there. There's a lot of places that are pretty dry. Missouri Basin, there is indications of continued precipitation over the next 7 days. Nothing extraordinarily high. Green is obviously wetter, but if you look at the numbers down there in the lower left, you'll see that green goes up to about half an inch of precipitation. And honestly, that's not a lot to write home about in the plains. The mountains will be getting some snows. That's good. I'm not sure how substantial that's going to be in terms of heavy snows and such, but I guess anything's good at this point. And it is turning into spring, so we expect spring rains to start coming and such. But I think the big story here is the lower basin, a lot of water coming over the next 7 days. All right, next slide, please. This is week two, looking at the 12th through the 18th, so middle of March. The forecast is on temperatures anyway, for some below normal temperatures, better chances for below normal temperatures in the northern part of the basin, kind of stretching down into Iowa, eastern Dakotas a little bit. Those aren't high probabilities, but then transitioning to warmer than normal as you move towards Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, that area, the probabilities are higher for above normal. So sort of a split there. North-south, sort of northeast to southwest as well in terms of temperature. And it's kind of the same when it comes to precipitation. Better chances for above normal precipitation across the northern part of the basin, which is good. Not high probabilities, but I'd rather have green than yellow or tan. The tan comes in when you get south of Wyoming into Colorado and sort of Kansas area. Next slide. And there's a seasonal outlook there, March through May. Not really much to say here on the temperature side. That sort of trend towards probabilities of above normal temperatures on the left-hand image continue. And same with the dryness in the, I'll say, central plains, high plains, Wyoming south. Nebraska south, not looking great. And it's pretty typical. This is a typical pattern, I would say, also for a La Nina spring. So we'll see what happens. And then for all that white area in between, the green and the brown, or green and tan, it's equal chances of above, below, or near normal. So not a lot of direction when it comes. So it could be wet, could be dry, could be near normal. So next slide. And then here's the drought situation. I'll start in the upper right corner this time. So the upper right really shows you, gosh, I can't get rid of that. Okay. The upper right shows you the change in drought classification over the last 13 weeks or about three months. So what's happened over the last 3 months? There's been a definite drying. We've already talked about this in terms of temperature and to some degree in terms of precipitation not falling in some of those areas anyway. So yellow means worsening drought. The deeper deeper towards orange you go, the higher the classification change, the degradation, if you will, the greater the degradation of drought that has happened over that time. Green areas show where drought has improved. Yellow areas are where it's gotten worse. Okay, now back to the Missouri watershed on the left. That's the current drought monitor map. Red is bad. That means very dry, extreme dry. And white is near normal. So you can see some problem areas there. Well, lots of problem areas there. And compared to last year at this time, if you look at total drought, it was pretty similar in terms. I know it's very hard to read those fuzzy little numbers, but D0 to D4 last year was 78% of the basin. And this year it's about 77% of the basin. So very close in terms of coverage. It was a little more intense last year at some of the higher levels of drought. And then the lower right corner is the drought outlook through the end of May. So this yellow shading in there shows where drought development is likely to be, the yellow. Oh gosh, here comes the cat. And then the brown is the persistent drought, probably not going to improve much during that period. Sorry about that. The green sort of gray areas, in case you're interested, are areas where drought improvement should be. And of course, we just looked at the next 7 days, and definitely that area is going to improve in terms of drought or go away in terms of drought. So, all right. So there's the drought situation. And then finally, last slide. The current situation, first, El Nino, La Nina is the La Nina has transitioned or is almost transitioned to a neutral condition, which may not mean much to you, but in the long run, it looks like it's going to flip to El Nino for next fall or late summer or fall. We'll see if that happens. Plain snowpack, really non-existent. Mountain snowpack, mainly at higher elevations. Widespread dryness, close to last year at this point, in terms of the extent across the basin. Short term, temperatures look a bit cooler, especially north, warmer in Wyoming, Nebraska south, and then precipitation chances are elevated for most of the basin next 7 days. And then sort of that enhancement seems to work its way north in terms of precipitation chances in week two. Longer term, temperatures are mainly equal chances of below, above, or near normal. Gosh, I always choke up. And then slightly enhanced chances of above normal temperatures in the south. Precipitation is mostly equal chances, but slight increased probability of below normal in the southwestern portions of the basin, with more drought development likely in that area. And then finally, a plug for our North Central Climate Summary and Outlook webinar, which is happening March 19th, if you want to hear more about this stuff. And you can welcome the geese back in the picture behind. I just took that picture in the lower Missouri Basin. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. And we'll move to you, Lisa.
Sure. Good afternoon. I'd just like to start off by thanking the Corps for once again inviting NOAA to participate in this series of calls. And go ahead and go to the next slide. We can start talking about things here. As Doug pointed out, the precipitation over the past 90 days has been below normal across much of the Missouri River Basin. Snowfall this winter across the entirety of the Missouri River Basin continues to be below normal, but even with winter beginning to wrap up, we cannot rule out additional snowfall across the basin. Temperatures across the entire basin also continue to be consistently above normal going back to October 1st. As such, soil moisture remains at or below normal over most of the basin, and soil temperatures have warmed such that the current frost depths of 1 to 2 feet across South Dakota and areas to the south are beginning to thaw. If the ground continues to thaw in the coming month, flood potential due to the frozen ground will decrease. With all that together, the drought monitor that was updated this morning has expanded across the Missouri River Basin from 31 to 57% since this last call. Nebraska through northern Colorado, eastern Wyoming, and into central Montana are experiencing severe to extreme drought conditions. We cannot ignore that the basin is continuing to get drier. Drought has expanded across the basin since the start of the calendar year and beginning to approach drought coverage similar to this time last year. And finally, flooding since the beginning of the water year, October 1st, continues to be largely mute, with the exception of one minor flood event across eastern Kansas in mid-February. Though it is worth mentioning, the precipitation has picked up in the southeast portion of the basin and is forecast to receive additional rainfall into this weekend. While no locations are currently forecast to flood stage, we cannot rule out the possibility of flooding due to thunderstorm potential. Considering the basin conditions, water supply forecasts developed by the National Weather Service were issued today. With the absence of significant snowfall during January and February, the percent of normal snow water equivalent across the Mountain West has continued to diminish. This ultimately contributes to the below normal water supply forecasts across the Mountain West. While some conditions along the Montana-Wyoming border remain near normal, a stronger and more consistent signal towards below normal runoff currently exists across Colorado and southern Wyoming. The April through September mountain runoff volumes are as follows: the Missouri or the Milk River at Eastern Crossing, the natural flow forecast is only 24%. The Missouri River at Fort Peck, 79% of normal. The Yellowstone River at Sydney is 81%. The Seminole inflow in the North Platte Basin is 64%. The South Platte Basin at South Platte is 47%. And now, as seen in this graphic, the river outlook going out 90 days indicates limited flood potential across the basin. These outlooks are issued towards the end of each month, and in this case are valid through May 30th. Flood risk is denoted by the color of the particular river station, with green meaning a less than 50% chance for flooding, orange being greater than 50% for minor flooding, red for moderate, and purple for major. Our most recent official river outlook as of February 24th highlights only a small number of forecast points showing a greater than 50% chance of exceeding minor flood stage, most notably along the James River in eastern South Dakota and along smaller, flashier tributaries in eastern Kansas and across Missouri along the lower mainstem Missouri River. But as always, the risk for flooding between now and late May is dependent upon timing and location of any planned snowpack, rain on snow events, and rain events in general, especially in late March when thunderstorm activity is more probable. Keep in mind that the flood outlook does not take into account river ice, but luckily has not been a significant issue this winter. Our next 90-day outlook is Thursday, March 12th, next week, which will be the final spring flood outlook for this year. And finally, on Thursday, March 19th, the National Weather Service will issue the National Hydrologic Assessment for the nation. Just Google the words National Hydrologic Assessment on or after the 19th to access this document. Thank you, and this concludes the NWS Flood Brief Potential.
All right, thank you, Lisa, and we'll get an introduction from John Remus, and then he'll pass it off to the staff. John.
Thank you, Arlene, and thank you, Doug and Lisa, for your insights. We very much appreciate that. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Mainstem Reservoir System. This is the third of the 2026 monthly stakeholder coordination calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be given when directly comparing one event to another. Drought remains an issue as the majority of the Missouri River Basin has experienced some level of abnormally dry or drought conditions. The mainstream reservoir system storage remains below normal. Therefore, we will continue water conservation measures through the spring and into the summer, and possibly, or should I say, probably longer. This will mean lower than normal releases from the reservoirs. Lower than normal reservoir levels provide an extra measure of flood risk management, which reduces the threat of system-wide flooding. But as Lisa mentioned, localized flooding is still possible and probable, and probably likely due to local precipitation events. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently, and will be, adequate water in the reservoirs, in the river reaches between the reservoirs, and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River Mainstream Reservoir System for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. Lastly, the runoff forecast, the projected reservoir levels and pool levels that Ryan Larson and Mike Swenson will be discussing are based on the best available information. As we move through the year, actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 19, Eileen. This graphic shows the annual runoff above Sioux City, Iowa for the period of record dating back to 1898, with the long-term droughts highlighted in yellow. The 2026 calendar year runoff forecast for the upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 20.6 million acre feet, 80% of average, and is highlighted in red. Next slide. The March 2026 calendar year runoff forecast is 2.8 million acre feet lower than last month's forecast and reflects increasingly dry soil moisture in the upper basin, below average mountain snowpack, and non-existent plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, we are forecasting below average runoff during the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, typically when the mountain snowpack melts. With non-existent plain snowpack, March and April runoff will likely be driven by rainfall. The Climate Prediction Center's, or CPC's, March precipitation outlook is showing increased chances for above normal precipitation across eastern portions of the upper basin. However, that area of the upper basin also corresponds to dry soil conditions that have increased in dryness over the last month. The rest of the upper basin shows equal chances for above, below, or normal precipitation, but drought conditions are worsening, especially in Montana, Wyoming, and southern South Dakota. In general, dry soil conditions mean more precipitation is required for runoff to occur. Moving to slide 21.
Hey, Ryan, if you're not seeing the slide, my connectivity may have dropped, so I may need you guys to pull it up.
It came up.
Phew.
Mountain snowpack is a big driver of runoff during the other high runoff period of May through July. As of March 1st, mountain snowpack was below average in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. The mountain snowpack above Fort Peck, shown in the left graphic, is 79% of average. It is compared to the maximum, minimum, and average snowpacks over the last 30 years. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison Reach is 85% of average, shown in the right graphic. And it is important to note that close to 79% of the typical accumulation period has elapsed, with snowpack typically peaking in mid-April. Moving to the next slide. This graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. There are now 368 of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data, with another 84 scheduled to be installed this coming summer. All stations are scheduled to be installed by 2027. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snowpack, and soil moisture and soil temperature at five different depths. Data provided by the stations help improve products such as the no-risk snow map shown on the previous slides and inform our runoff forecast. In summary, the 2026 county runoff forecast is 20.6 million acre feet, or 80% of average. I will now turn it over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gavin's Point releases are currently at 12,000 CFS and will remain at that rate through next week. Releases will be stepped up beginning on or around March 17th to provide flow support for navigation. Support flows will reach the mouth near St. Louis by April 1st. Releases will be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream targets. Garrison releases have been at 16,000 CFS since early December. Releases will remain at that rate through March, downstream conditions permitting. With regard to the monthly simulations or our monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Turning here to slide 24, system storage is currently at 49.4 million acre feet, 6.7 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Moving on to the next slide, 25. And looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 11.9. 10.1 and 5.5 feet below the base of their respective flood control zones. As shown on the basic simulation, Fort Peck Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 2227, about 5 feet higher than its current elevation. Peak releases are expected to average about 8,000 CFS this summer. Garrison Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 1835, about 2.5 feet below the base of the flood control pool. Garrison releases are expected to average about 20,000 CFS this summer. Oahe Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 1603, which is about a foot higher than its current elevation. Peak releases are expected to average about 29,000 CFS this summer. I'm now on slide 26. Which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. We are a little more than a week from the March 15th storage check, and it's likely that flow support for the first part of the navigation flow support season will be 5,500 CFS below full service. For that level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 24,000 to 27,000 CFS. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be approximately 4,500 CFS below full service after the July 1st storage check, with monthly average releases ranging from 28,000 to 30,000 CFS. There would be a normal 8-month flow support season. Next slide. While the Corps continues the planning process for Fort Peck test flows, based on the current reservoir forecast, there will be insufficient water to run test flows from Fort Peck in 2026. As usual, conditions will be monitored through the coming months, and the regulation will be adjusted as needed. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 7.8 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.3 billion kilowatt hours. And moving on to the next slide, which is my last one here, shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. So I'll send it back to you, Eileen.
All right. Thank you, Mike. And we'll move into the question and answer session. The next call will be held on May 7th. April will be reserved for public meetings, which I am sure John will have additional information about, and there will also be information in our forthcoming press release. I also want to call attention to our social media. We have deactivated the Northwestern Division Facebook, X, and YouTube accounts, so we are now only on LinkedIn. However, if you are following the Omaha District or Kansas City District, they will be the resource for social media type content related to Missouri River runoff. This slide contains the names of our speakers and contact information. If you have further questions or if you simply need spelling or job titles for attribution, with that, I'm going to open up the floor for questions. We'll go in alphabetical order by state. Press star 6 to unmute your phone or use the microphone icon on your computer screen. Please state your name and the organization that you represent. So we'll start with the state of Iowa. Kansas. Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, any other callers on the line that have a question? All right, John, I'm handing it back to you.
Thank you, Eileen. Just want to remind everybody that being on or near water is inherently dangerous. Please use the proper safety equipment and procedures and be aware of the existing and forecasted conditions. I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Also, please pay attention to the weather forecast and local conditions. Conditions can change and sometimes change quite rapidly, so please plan accordingly and exercise safety first. As we mentioned earlier, we have monthly calls through July and have ad hoc calls more frequently if warranted. If you have any questions regarding reservoir levels, feel free to contact us. Our contact information is provided on the slides here. As Eileen mentioned, in April, we reserved that time for in-person meetings throughout the basin. Due to budget constraints and logistical challenges, we are not going to be having a meeting in every state like we've normally had, so we are planning to have a meeting in Bismarck, North Dakota, Sioux City, Iowa, and Smithville, Missouri. The dates, times, and venues are still being finalized. We should have those by early next week, and as Eileen said, we'll put out another press release on that, so be looking for that. With that, I'll offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting. Going once, twice. All right, again, thanks to Doug and to Lisa for helping us out on the call, and with that, I'll end the call.
John, real quick.
Yes.
I do see a question. What will release from Gavin's Point be when flows are increased next week?
We'll be starting to increase on around the 17th, and right now, looking out, it'll be around 24,000 CFS to hit the target at Sioux City. That'll be adjusted, though, as we start moving further into March.
We're going to go, plan to go up 3,000 a day.
3,000 a day.
Thank you. No other questions in the chat. So with that, we can end the call, and we'll provide updated information on our website.
Thank you.
Thank you.